The Prudential Family Hour of Stars. Each week, the Prudential Insurance Company of America adds a new star to the Prudential Family Hour of Stars in a series of radio plays written or adapted by Hollywood's finest writers with the music of Carmen Dragan. Today, we present the story of a novelist, an original radio play written by Walter Newman. Our title, I Give You Maggie. Our star, Mr. John Payne. Our play opens in New York City on an October afternoon. In the living room of a penthouse overlooking Central Park, a cocktail party is being held in honor of a prize-winning young novelist, Tom Paget. Two women, Mrs. Paget and Daphne Lewis, literary editor, are leaving the crowded room.
There. That's better. Now at least we can hear ourselves think. Have you ever heard anything noisier than a literary cocktail party, Mrs. Paget?
Well, this is the first I ever attended.
Oh, really? Well, here, you sit here on the couch, and I'll take this armchair. Cigarette?
Oh, no, thank you, Miss. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
not at all. Daphne Lewis, Mrs. Paget, assistant literary editor of the Times.
Oh, yes, of course.
I don't usually do this sort of thing, but we're all so delighted with your husband's work that I thought it might make a rather good column for next Sunday if I interviewed you. The woman behind the author, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, I'm afraid it won't be very interesting.
Darling, of course it will. Though, frankly, it's not my personal dish of tea. Are you comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
Ready? Oh, no, wait, let me get a pencil out of my bag. There we are. Now, when did you and Tommy marry, Mrs. Paget?
Maggie, sit down. You're pacing a groove right across the living room.
Is my mouth on straight, Nona?
Oh, you look adorable. Relax. There he is!
Well, yeah, I don't like it. Young girl ought to bring her boyfriends around so her parents can see what...
Shh, Harry.
Tom, my father and mother.
Good evening, Mrs. Banner.
Good evening.
Mrs. Banner.
And my sister, Nona.
Hello, Nona.
Hello.
Maggie tells us you've knocked around a lot.
Some.
That's very interesting. What have you done, Tom?
Well, I ran away from an orphanage about 12 years ago when I was 14. I was a road kid for 3 years.
Road kid?
That's a young hobo. Rode the rods and boxcars all over this country and Canada. Slept under bridges, begged from door to door. I've been jailed as a bum 20, 30 times.
Well, what else?
Oh, not much of anything.
What are you doing now?
Just sitting here.
Well, no. I mean...
Well, I read a lot. That's how I met Maggie at the library. I guess she told you that. I'm trying to learn how to write. I think I'm going to be a writer.
I suppose you've put aside a lot of money. Keep you going until you begin to sell your stories.
I got $5.
Not very much, is it?
No. In fact, after I take Maggie out for a walk tonight and buy her a soda, I'll have just about enough left over for a marriage license in the morning.
What?
Maggie!
That's all right with you, isn't it, Maggie? I haven't made a mistake, have I?
No, John. No, you haven't made a mistake.
But what are you going to live on?
That will be a problem.
I make 35 a week.
Well, there now. We can easily manage on that, Mrs. Banner.
You're going to let her support you?
Hold it, Bertha. Maggie, look. You're dead set on this.
Dead set, Papa. We're going to be married.
Going against us, Maggie?
Not against you, Papa. Just in a different direction.
If you marry this tramp, you can get out of this house tonight and stay out.
Papa!
No, I mean it.
Oh, give me your hand, Tom. Oh, I'm all shaking.
Here, kid. Squeeze it. Squeeze hard. Ready, Maggie?
Ready, Tom.
Now, When did you and Tommy marry, Mrs. Paget?
July 17th, 1937.
Mm-hmm. I see. And how did it come about?
Oh, he just asked me, and I said yes.
How unusual. Hmm? Well, don't mind me. So you married a budding genius. Was it difficult at first? How did you find it? Bitter? Sweet?
Maggie.
Yes?
I'm finished for the day. Supper ready?
Ready? It's been on the table for 3 hours.
Where? Are you kidding? In the closet?
No, I'm here in the kitchenette.
How you managed to disappear in a one-room apartment or something... I'm sorry about supper, honey. You didn't wait up for me, did you?
Of course I waited for you.
Oh, you should have eaten. Hey, what are the cake and candles for? Is it my birthday?
No, it's not your birthday. Oh, Tom, you've forgotten.
Forgot? Oh, no, I didn't. I didn't forget. I'm
yes,
honest.
You did.
I didn't, babe. Honest, I have
your
a present. I have a present for you right in my pocket. Wait a second. Here, take it.
What is it?
A poem. Can you read my writing?
For Maggie on our first wedding anniversary.
Go ahead. Read it.
If I could write the beauty of your eyes, and in fresh numbers number all your graces, the age to come would say, this poet lies. Such heavenly touches, ne'er touched earthly face.
Like it?
Oh, Tom, beautiful. It's better than Shakespeare.
Heck, honey, it is Shakespeare. I didn't have time to compose one, so I copied it. Says what I mean, anyway.
Oh, Tom, it's the nicest present.
Here, give me a kiss. You're a kissable wench, Maggie. I think I'll renew my option on you for another year.
Oh, Tom, I'm so happy.
Me too. I turned out about ten pages today, and the character I told you about last night, Jonesy, he's really beginning to come alive.
Each week it gets better and better. Do you realize we'll be on our vacation this time next week?
Maggie.
Our first vacation together, 1 week
here.
Of it. 1 week of no Maggie. Subway and no office and no ironing and no dishes.
Maggie, I meant to tell you.
We simply toss our $40 into the hotel owner's lap, and in return he gives
us...
It's a paradise.
But there is no $40 anymore.
7 days. What?
We don't have $40. Only 12.
Oh, I don't understand.
Well, after you left for the office this morning, I broke the typewriter. The man at the shop said it would cost $18 to fix and would take 10 days, and I rented the typewriter I'm using for a buck a day. 18 plus 10 equals 28, and 28 from 40 leaves... no vacation.
No vacation?
No.
Couldn't you have used a pencil?
Oh, Maggie, please don't cry, honey. Please, listen. Someday, maybe pretty soon, I'll finish the book and sell it for a barrel of money. Then we'll head for the beach at Acapulco, or even Rio. And we'll not stay 7 days, but 7 months, or as long as you like. And when we come back... Oh, don't cry, Maggie. Here, blow. I know you've looked forward to this vacation, and I know how it is. Maggie, Someday I'll propose a toast, and I'm going to say, ladies and gentlemen of the Pulitzer Prize Committee, members of the press, friends, in accepting the award for literature, I do not accept it for myself, but for the person who really deserves all the credit accruing to my book. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Maggie.
In just a moment, we'll return to I Give You Maggie, starring John Payne. Now, Act Two of I Give You Maggie, starring Mr. John Payne.
Married a budding genius, didn't you, Mrs. Paget? Was it difficult at first? How did you find it? Bitter? Sweet?
A little of both, I guess. A little of both. It had its compensations, though.
It had its compensations. My leading questions don't seem to lead anywhere, do they, Mrs. Paget?
Mm.
Well, never mind.
Things didn't always move too smoothly, did they?
Maggie, where are you?
I'm here.
Guess what?
What is it?
Can anybody hear us?
No, what is it? Don't tease me.
Well, I was walking down the block just now.
Yes?
And all of a sudden, down at my feet, I saw...
What?
This.
A dollar bill. Found it? That's wonderful.
I'll bet you were beginning to think I'd never be a breadwinner. Well, Mrs. Paget, instead of walking around the park this afternoon, as we do every Sunday, we're going to observe the rites of spring.
With a dollar?
I'm afraid you lack creative vision. When I look at this dollar, do you know what I see?
George Washington's picture.
That's the trouble with women, no imagination. I see two round trips to Coney Island, 20 cents. Two bock beers, 20 cents. Two hot dogs, with or without mustard, 20 cents. And two rides on a merry-go-round, 20 cents.
That's only 80 cents. What about the other 20?
Well, the other 20 cents goes back on the sidewalk for the appeasement of tastes far less luxurious than ours. Madam, leave us away.
My leading questions don't seem to lead anywhere, do they, Mrs. Paget? Yeah, oh, never mind. Things didn't always move too smoothly, did they?
No, but we managed somehow.
And all this while, Tommy just kept plugging away at his writing.
That's right. Except for one period.
Except for one period? When was that?
Doctor, I'd like to know the truth.
Mrs. Paget, I'll give it to you straight from the shoulder. If you think you can take it.
I can take it.
Tuberculosis. Now, wait. We've caught it in time, I think. But, Mrs. Paget, your husband will have to go away for a while.
May I go in to see him, Doctor?
Well, he's sleeping.
I just want to look at him.
All right, but don't let him talk too much if he wakes up.
That you, kid?
Not to talk.
Did the doc tell you? We've been hit a low blow.
I know.
He wants me to go to Arizona. Listen, babe. Get a divorce. I mean it. I'm being objective, not noble. We've had the top of the bottle. Don't tie yourself to me.
Stop this nonsense.
No.
Stop it.
Listen. Don't let sentimentality trip you up. That's where most people go wrong. You have to be hard and a little ruthless. If I'd let sentimentality get in my way, I'd have taken a job instead of writing.
I'm not listening.
You must listen, Maggie. I know you're thinking I'll be alone in a sanitarium or something, but, kid, I've been alone most of my life. I am used to it. I never expected anything else. Why, the time we've had together, that's so much gravy for me.
Gravy for you, Ed. You're used to being alone, are you? Oh, what about me? Do you think I could live without you? I couldn't. I'd die.
Your husband continued writing, except for one period. Now, when was that?
During the war. He was ill, tuberculosis.
Was he in a sanitarium?
Yes, in Tucson, Arizona.
And you?
I got a job at an army air base near him. I was allowed to see him twice a month. One of the officers used to drive me to town.
Was this officer a friend?
Well, Maggie, this is the last time I'll be driving you to Tucson.
Oh, Stan. Shipping out?
Uh-huh. Very hush-hush operation. There's something I want to say to you. No, don't look at me. Look straight ahead. Maggie, I'm in love with you, very much in love with you.
Doctor,
I'm going to make it short. I want you to get a divorce and marry me. We can be married by proxy no matter where they send me, and I'll be back someday.
No, Sam.
Look, face facts. They're brutal, but they've got to be faced. Maggie, your husband is an invalid. He's been in a sanitarium how long? 2 years, three? He may be there 10 more. What does this leave you, Maggie? You see him only twice a month. You can't even kiss
him.
No,
Spence.
You sure?
Very sure.
Oh, well, guess that's that, then. It's all the ammo on my clip. You know something? Sick as your husband is, if I could change places with him, I'd do it in a second. And still think I'd gotten the best of the bargain.
Oh, Spence, you're...
Ah, come on, come on. Just use the talk. Let's not talk for a while.
Was this officer a friend?
A good friend.
How long was Tommy ill?
Almost 4 years.
When did he meet Felice Harrell?
After we came back here.
Meeting a literary agent like Felice was a lucky break for your husband, wasn't it?
Maggie, Felice was wonderful. She's only been an agent for a year, but she thought it was the best book she's read by a modern author. Oh, I almost forgot I'm having dinner at her place. We're going to discuss some revisions she had in mind.
Oh, so?
Pick out a tie for me and lay out some clothes, huh, babe?
I'll wait up for you. I want to hear all about it.
Oh, better not. I may be very late. You know, I can talk when I have a new audience. I'm going to shower and shave. Do you have any money?
I have a $5 bill.
Well, put it in my trousers, will you? Should I take her some candy or something?
That might be nice.
If she calls, tell her I'll be on time, not to fret.
I will.
We'll return to John Payne and the third act of I Give You Maggie in just a moment. Now, Act Three of I Give You Maggie, starring John Payne.
Meeting a literary agent like Felice was a lucky break for your husband, wasn't it?
Yes, for both of them.
Very attractive, isn't she?
Very.
You know, I think personal appearance is so important, don't you?
Maggie, you look awful.
I do?
Just awful. You used to be such a pretty girl, too.
You ought to be thanked for letting yourself run to seed like this.
No, I haven't run to seed.
How old are you now?
31.
You know how old you look?
How old?
31.
That's disgraceful. You should look at least 5 years younger than 31.
At 41...
All right, you've made your point. Where's Tom this evening? With Felice, I think.
Oh? He's seeing a lot of her, isn't he? Aren't I the cat?
Well, why shouldn't he? She's his agent. They have to confer a good deal.
Of course. Any news on the book?
No, not yet. But Felice keeps trying.
I'll bet she does at that.
I think personal appearance is so important, don't you?
Yes, it is.
Did they accept the book for publication as soon as they read it?
No. We had to raise $2,500.
Did you borrow from friends?
Maggie. Oh, Maggie.
Hello.
Maggie, why didn't you write?
Oh, I've kept in touch with you through the newspaper. Captain Nolan on this island, Major Nolan on that one. I kept in touch. Oh,
did you really? Maggie, are you... is Tom...
Completely cured.
I see. And you and he, you're still...
Still married.
And... In love. And in love?
Oh, Spence, I'm miserable. I think Tom wants out. He hasn't said anything. He's going to be a famous man, Spence, and I don't seem to fit into this life anymore.
Oh,
Maggie. You know that line about successful writers and the women they happened to marry when they were young?
Who is she, Maggie?
Felice Harrell, Tom's agent. She's young, smart, and literary, just as Tom is. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't come to let my heart
on. No, it's all right.
I've come back.
$2,500. 25?
Felice has contacts. She can get Tom's book published if he could put up that amount.
$2,500. All right, Maggie, I'll give you $2,500. On one condition, that you divorce Tom and marry me.
Divorce?
Don't stop to think. Quick, what do you say?
No.
I knew it. Still the same, Maggie. Wobbly on your feet, but still in there.
Oh.
Want to know something? You said yes, you'd come no closer to $2,500 of my dollars than any other stranger. But then you're no stranger, right? Okay, Maggie, money's yours.
Ben.
Yeah.
May I give you a kiss?
Well, the best offer I've had today.
Did you borrow from friends? Something like that.
And so the book was published and the rest is history.
That's right.
Well, I guess that's about all. Didn't hurt, did it?
I told you it wouldn't be very interesting.
Well, almost everything concerning a Pulitzer Prize winner is interesting. And what you've told me will make a paragraph anyway.
And I'm terribly glad for Tommy and Felice. There aren't two nicer people than in the literary game. Tommy's so good looking. Mrs. Paget, may I say something?
Yes.
Well, if I were you and had a husband as attractive as Tommy... Oh, never mind. None of my business. Shall we go back to the party?
Oh, I'd like to stay here for a moment, if you don't mind. I want to fix my hair.
Well, see you soon.
You used to be such a pretty girl, Maggie.
No.
You used to be such a pretty girl.
Maggie, come on out.
Maggie, what is it, babe? What happened?
Tom, I'm not pretty anymore. I was standing in front of the mirror. I found a gray hair. I'm not young and pretty anymore. I'm not, am I, Tom?
No, Maggie.
Oh.
You're not pretty anymore.
Oh, no.
You're beautiful.
Tom.
Oh, your face is beginning to line. There's a line between your eyebrows that wasn't there when we were first married. And here's one I saw when my first book was rejected. And another that was etched while I was sick. Oh, sure. There's several lines. To say nothing of your one gray hair. Maggie, you imbecile. I didn't marry you because you were pretty. There are thousands and thousands of pretty girls. You see them in ads or glumping around in the movies. Chorus lines in colleges are filled with them. Why, Felice is a pretty girl. But you... You're beautiful. All the loveliness I saw deep down inside you when we first met is just pushing its way out. I say you're beautiful. And maybe I'm prejudiced, but I love you. Here now, both. Now take my hand. Squeeze it. Squeeze it. Ready, Maggie?
Ready, Tom.
Okay. Let's go out there and face them together.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Pulitzer Prize Committee, members of the press, friends. In accepting the award for literature, I do not accept it for myself, but for the person who really deserves all the credit accruing to my book. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Maggie.
Don Payne will return in just a moment to tell you about next week's show.
First, I want to offer my sincere thanks to the young lady who made Maggie such a charming wife in today's performance. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Lorraine Tuttle. Next week, the Prudential Family Hours of Stars will bring you the popular young motion picture actress, Miss Audrey Totter, and Daphne Du Maurier's sensational bestseller, Rebecca. Be sure to listen. Thank you and good afternoon.
John Payne is currently starring in the Benedict Bogis production of The Crooked Way. Today's story was written by Walter Newman, music composed and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Don't forget, next Sunday, our star will be Audrey Totter. And so until next week, this is Frank Goss saying good afternoon for the Prudential Family Hour of Stars and for the Prudential Insurance Company of America, the company with the strength of Gibraltar. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.